Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Labors for Christ, Spiritual Growth and Development. This is our Wednesday gathering. So let's chat over coffee and kingdom culture. Entire month of March, as has been in February, we are looking at some kingdom topics that tend to be quite controversial and yet very enlightening. So we're so glad that you joined us today, and we encourage you to put your phones on mute until you're ready to dialogue. And when you would like to dialogue, please take it off mute, and it will take a couple of seconds to connect. But please be patient, because dialogue is what we do. We intend to share, to chat, so hopefully you have researched the topic for this evening. Your phones are on live, and when the physical location is ready, they will start our chat session. We are located at 1750 West 103rd Street in the upper level of Bethany Union Church, and we encourage you to come out. There's one thing to hear, but it's quite another thing to see the expressions on individuals as they dialogue about these controversial topics. Should women wear pants? Your stand on birth control? Should Christians date? Last week's session, does anybody remember last week's session?
Should Christian people go to the movies? I don't know if I said the correct title.
Okay, that's a good one. Should Christian people go to the movies? Okay, so we have a variety of things that we're looking at. Looking for the spiritual, should Christians be a part of fraternity houses and sorority houses? And so there's so many issues that we face on an everyday basis that we need to know what the Word of God has said about it. And then we need to know what the Word of God has given us direction to do. For we are realizing that a lot of the decisions are those that need to be made in harmony with Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us navigate through the world challenges that we get in our day-to-day living. And so when the physical location is ready, they can just chime right in. We have Apostolic Pastor, Apostle Shanette Houghton, as well as our Ambassadorial Prophet, Michael G. Henderson. And so we are really excited. Pastor Marlette Lazarus also facilitates. And so we do want to, the last week was music. Should Christians listen to secular music? Yes. Amen. So a lot of really good topic sites, even as to how to worship with one another that's not from the same flock, if you will, and how to, in tolerance and in patience and in prayer, interact with those that view certain things differently than we do. So being an apostolic house makes us more susceptible, if you will, to navigating these topics in a way that will honor God and cause man to marvel at our Father, which art in heaven. So when the physical location is ready, just jump right in and start some prayer.
Well, good evening, Overseer and Blog Talk family. How are you?
Good evening.
Good. Just want to do a mic check, make sure that you can hear us pretty good. Are we loud and clear?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
All right. Well, this is definitely the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. Isaiah 14:26-27 out of the TLB version says, "This is my plan for the whole earth. I would do it by my mighty power that reaches everywhere around the world. The Lord, the God of battle, has spoken. Who can change his plan? When his hand moves, who can stop him?" Amen?
Amen.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Any prayer requests? Anybody have any prayer requests, petitions, praise reports?
You can be praying for my cousin and his wife. They lost their baby on Saturday. She's in an early labor at 5 months. Little guy didn't make it. So it was their first pregnancy. They had been trying a long time. So they were pretty desperate. That name is Jeff.
All right, let's pray for the Johnson family. What's the family you mentioned?
I mentioned the cousin.
Oh, Hawkins. Hawkins family, okay.
Johnson.
Actually.
Oh, the Johnson.
They're Johnson as well. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you for being a marvelous and wonderful God. Thank you for who you are and all that you have done. Thank you for being a phenomenal God. You are extremely impressive and jaw-dropping. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for what you have purposed in our lives individually and collectively. We thank you for the word of the Lord in Isaiah that declares that you have a plan for the whole earth. You would do it by your mighty power that reaches everywhere around the world, that you are the Lord God of battle. You have spoken. Who can change it? And when your hand moves, nothing can stop it. Father, we do lift up the Johnson's family as both of them are grieving the transition, the death of a loved one. We pray that you will comfort them and keep them. You will wipe the tears from their eyes, that you will bottle their tears up, that you will give them mourning. You will give them joy in their time of mourning. You will give them peace in the midst of this storm. And we thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for how you'll use this death to draw them closer to you. And so we pray for each family that is going through this process, that you will comfort their hearts. You will continue to watch over them and keep them and strengthen them during this time. And then we thank you. We thank you for this time that we share, and thank you for we are living in the realm of the manifestation, in the realm of maturation, in the realm of miracles, and in the realm of momentum. And we thank you for this kingdom conversation that is building those things in us and causing us to transform into more into the image of your likeness and to your son. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, well, to this week's topic is a Christian has failed. Should we continue to buy, listen, read their materials that they have published or put out there? Should we go and listen to their tapes again, reread their books, watch their TV shows, and et cetera? So I think it's a good topic. Let's see what we got in the room. What do people say? Apostle KP is not here to kick us off, so next will be Seal. Brother Seal, Pastor Seal.
I think it depends on the circumstance. I think if that leader has a repentant spirit, is in reconciliation with the Lord and in the body, and then I think at some point that you could listen and glean something for it. And by the same token, I think if they haven't, so for example, there's a lady in the ministry at Overcomers that helped people dealing with same-sex issues. She wrote this excellent book on her coming out process, and then she went back to the life. And so it's an excellent guide for women who are struggling with same-sex attraction. You always give the comment, you can even do a study. How could you go from this foundation and then go back to what you came out of? So I think that you can look at it both ways. But then I think there are some people who go so far off the mark. I don't know if I want to name it. But there's a particular pastor who, great gospel singer, had the mega church, and he's come out that there's no such thing as hell anymore. And so he's been at a variety of churches. He has a YouTube channel, so he's filed all of this stuff against the church. When I've seen interviews with him, and people say, well, at one point you were casting out demons. You come from three or four generations of Pentecostal pastors. Well, I believe that it was a manifestation of our minds and so on and so forth.
Is that a quote?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so, and then what's the, it's an Indian guy. He's been on Oprah and all of these different shows. And so they've actually teamed up that and have done conferences about the church created the devil to keep people in line. There is no such thing as hell. The Indian guy is saying hell is here on earth and whatever you make it. So in that case, somebody like him, I would say no. Don't
okay.
listen to any of his.
Old or new?
Old or new.
Okay.
Yeah, old or new.
Come on. I like him. I like his old stuff too.
Yeah, I like his old stuff.
Okay, Blog Talk. Anybody on Blog Talk? Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, Blog Talk, do it. Well, I would just like to, when the topic first came up, you know, my thought was, okay, let me see what the Bible says. And I saw several leaders who were inspired to write scripture that we're still reading, and they did not have an exemplary life. And they had done some things that weren't good things, and yet we continue to be blessed by their inspired word. And so as a result, just of I thought of three, and there may be more, but as it relates to Paul or Solomon or David, they all had some issues going on, some very profound, and yet they've written some of the most read part of Scripture, and it is still inspiring us. So I believe that as long as what they presented was inspired by God, their actions can't change God's truth. And if he can make a donkey talk, okay, and he uses anybody that he chooses, if he used these individuals, and the scripture even says that, you know, you preach, and then if you don't, you know, continue to observe that which, you know, comes forth from the Spirit, you become a castaway. But it didn't say that the word, I don't believe the word should ever be a castaway. I don't think the word should ever be discounted because of who is giving it. I believe that if it's inspired, just like Christ told Peter, that, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You know, and so he came forth with a very powerful truth that has lived throughout eons, and that's that Christ, you know, is truly the Son of God. And yet in the next breath or two, he did wrong and had to be rebuked. And so I believe it wasn't for us to judge the heart of men and what where they might end up if they've done and they're still alive, you know, or if they've done and if they and they're gone. I mean, we do not know their heart, but God does. But I think even over and above that, if it is the inspired word of God, I believe it's something that will continue to have power and live. So that's it.
Very good. Good stuff, Overseer. We had the same thought. Honestly, I think this might be the first time in these conversations that I wasn't mad at Overseer.
Oh, my God.
All right. Because I wanted a tattoo and...
Wow. All right, here we
go. All right, anybody else?
Okay.
But for me personally, I don't prefer nothing behind it. But I'm not a reader like that for, you know, books and people that write books. I don't know who you wrote. Watching televangelists and sermons and stuff like that, I don't know nothing about that. But for me, music does that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, for me, it's like I can, there's a one artist who came out a long time ago. Music was profound. It was anointed. And then somewhere along there took a shift in it. Me not knowing anything about his life, what he was doing, what he delved into, but I know I heard the shift in his music, and it wasn't, it no longer caught my ear. I know I can't speak what it was, the heart of God, I don't know, but it no longer caught my ear. And then later on, some things or whatever was revealed about him. It was like, okay, but for me, music does that. And not judging the person or whatever, but I believe that your lifestyle or whatever you're doing, it gets presented in your music. It's the shift in it but there's a shift in it. And it just, for me, it no longer attracts me. It no longer speaks to me, that kind of thing, but yeah, I don't know, but you can tell the difference in it from before they got into their lifestyle or whatever, and then while they're in it, it's a shift in the music. I can't really explain it any other kind of way, but when I hear that, I was like, yeah, something's not right with that. It can, just kind of turns me off. So that's just me personally.
Don't worry, I know you're listening to his music to great God. I know listening to great God.
Evangelist Diane. What's your thought?
Diana.
Elder April.
with James McDonald being asked to step down, Lifeway Books has taken all of his material out. They don't sell it. And
who?
James McDonald, big pastor out in the suburbs. He had like 5 or 6 location, they were actually getting ready to publish another book of his to come out, and so they canceled all this, so they're going to take a loss, but they didn't want to promote and have him down from a financial, so that, as a matter of fact, it was an article in Christianity Today talking about this very topic, and so, you know, I guess I would ask the question too, how do we know something is inspired? Overseer used that example, and so I get it coming from the scriptures. But again, all of those folks that she mentioned, they came back to God, they strayed but they can get back. So, in the person's writing a book today, how would we classify stuff in society?
Well, I believe that the spirit bears testimony to the spirit. I don't think any of these topics can be navigated through without the guidance of Holy Spirit. We just don't know the heart of man. And I thought it was very interesting that Pastor Bethel shared that something, her spirit, bared witness that something had shifted. And so I believe that our seal in our walk, the one that teaches and corrects and leads and guides, would be that's how we will know whether or not it's fire. And then is it in harmony with the Word of God? There are some songs that you can listen to the words of. And I know a lot of people have a problem with Kirk Franklin, but the words in his song are testimonies of what life is like. And it's very raw and very real. Now, for some people, you know, you may say, well, is that inspired? It is, as long as he has brought to the table with those words the answer. And that being Christ, it says, as long as they are lifting up Christ as the answer, as the Savior, as the one, it says the devil is not going to do that. Only those that are inspired by the Spirit are going to do that. And so I believe that our desire to have a formula as to who to, who not to, what not to, is irrelevant, because it needs to be the thing that we are led and navigated to and through by Holy Spirit. Every moment by moment, we are to depend completely on God. That's what this journey, that's the way this journey is supposed to look. And I believe that he will bring correction when we go. He said, if you go left and you should go right, a voice is going to tell you, go left or go right. It will bring correction as long as we are surrendered and we are desiring in our hearts, maybe not living perfectly, because no one does. So whoever has ever wrote anything, they didn't end this life perfected. They became perfected after the Lord gets them. But as long as they are alive, they're subject to sin. They're subject to stumble. They're subject to fall. You know, and we often want to see that reconciliation with them and the Word of God, but we're not always witness to that. We don't always know what's in their heart, where he says he changes us from the inside out. So it may be before you see it on the outside, they're gone. But even, I don't believe Solomon ended on a good note. He had just, you know, become very not nice in his older years, and yet he wrote some very profound things, and we're still gleaming from them. So it isn't that all of them, you know, repented. Paul, absolutely, but not necessarily others. And so I believe that, and I'm not saying that, you know, Solomon went to hell. That is not what I'm saying. And I'm just saying what we receive in the Word about his life. So I believe that when we are sincere in our desire to walk in harmony and in line with God, it says the mandate is to walk humbly with God, then we'll always be in possession of the truth. Now, we may not embrace it, we may not want to listen to it, but we will be in, we will have it because we have Holy Spirit. So I don't know, anybody else on Blog Talk? We got a lot of people on the line. So, Brother Seal, I hope that was a little insight into amen. Okay, great.
Oh, this is Pastor Marlette. And,
Amen.
This is Pastor Marlette, and I guess I feel not depending on what the sin was. I'm not trying to weigh or measure that in any way, but where they are in their process. So if they're actively participating or participating in sin while still publishing and producing whatever it is that they're doing to share, I think that that will be a difference. But even in that, even if they are actively in the midst of it, I for some reason I still believe that there's something that we can possibly get from it if there's something in there for us to get. You know, so if it is they are, blowing their nose, and that's a sin, and, and still them blowing their nose, they're reading the scripture, that sin doesn't change the power that's in that scripture. If they're singing scripture, if they're ministering scripture, whatever, that sin doesn't change the power that is the word of God. And so I feel like it's always something to get from that. Like Pastor Bethel said, I'm not a book reader. I'm not going to read your book. I'm just not, unless I have to for CCTI.
Yes.
something like that. But, music. I am, as Pastor Bethel said, very sensitive to certain music. And, you have to look at, kind of pray and ask God, what's the heart of the spirit behind it? Before we share it, whatever, before we make it recommended reading, before we play the song, before we play the video, whatever that is. I believe we have to, seek God to see the heart behind it, and in the scripture that is, what we're reciting these ways, that kind of all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you, and so I believe that he will. If we seek him, he will give us the wisdom to know what we impart into our spirits and what we don't, and in the season we need to do it, so this may not be the season I need to read this because I may not be strong enough and the spirit behind it may be apples and I'm at oranges, but when we line up, in its ordained time, I'll my spirit will be receptive and thirsty for what it is, and, it will be filled.
I like what Overseer said. I think that the inspiration does come as a result of our spirit bearing witness from it. And we are to this day gleaming from Psalms 51, which David wrote, and it was basically his confession, his repentance as it relates to what he did, his relationship with Bathsheba. We are inspired by Peter, who downright denied Christ and also was rebuked because of him speaking out. And I believe the scripture said that gifts and callings are without repentance. And we've heard that, and oftentimes we've often made that scripture about the individual. So we say this person is gifted, they have a calling, this gifts and callings are without repentance, so this person can live this way, but the gift and calling is without repentance. But when you look at another side of the revelation of that scripture is, that scripture don't really have nothing to do with the person, it has everything to do with God. God himself says, I don't repent, I don't change my mind. I've given that gift, I've given that calling to that individual, and they have screwed it up, messed it up, didn't do what they were supposed to do in the season that they were supposed to do it, and God never changed his mind concerning that individual. And so I think for me, that is a way that helps me to address that. And there are some people who we've absolutely loved and listen to and learn from. I'm just going to call a name. I grew from Azusa. It was some of the best times that I had. It was some of those most inspired moments, and I look forward to it. But, yeah, that's my thought.
I have a question. So, first, I know for me with Bishop Eddie Long, while we talk about the spirit behind things, I mean, well, you know, God rest or something, rest his soul, I don't know. But for me, you know, looking at him, the motive, again, the heart behind looking at it, I mean, I'm sure most of his messages were really good, but that was not the initial thing that drew to the message or to his reading or to his buying his CDs and tapes and downloading those things were strictly because of aesthetic purposes. You know, so that's, again, looking behind the spirit behind that. And then as well, my second question is, if these people were powerful, you know, and say you got a prophetic word from them, does that nullify the prophetic word that you got from them? Does that change, you know, the power of God that spoke that word in that season, and then they had this great Humpty Dumpty fall? And now, yeah, you know, now, you know, my six figures not coming. I don't hope that's a safe one. You never prophesied six figures. No. I'm just, you know, does that change that? You know, if we're talking about listening to him and allowing, you know, that fallen spirit to be kind of be imparted into us, does that change the words?
But you know what? If I could just address something that I think we've been guilty of, and it's been to the detriment of leaders, is we remember them more than we do the word they from the Lord. And you may say Eddie Long is wonderful. Do you remember ever a message that he gave? Do we remember from these? Huh?
Okay. Fire shut up in my bones.
Okay, fire shut up in your bones. And so that's what I think we're missing is we are keep judging people when what they give us is not them. It is the word of God. And if it isn't the word of God, then the Spirit gives us that discernment. So, I mean, he'll tell you really quite frankly what leader to follow and what not to follow. But if we are guilty of idolizing some of these people for whatever reason, then we go, well, not really. Well, if you hear somebody is coming somewhere and you really get excited, oh, I got to go. All right. Is it because you believe that the Lord is going to manifest himself there or you like the things that person is saying? And so I think it's what motivates us causes our leaders because at a certain point, we are not looking for God. We're looking for them to perform for us. You know, we're looking for them to give us a word. I need to look to God. You got a word for me? Okay, who'll give it to me? You know, but that's not what we do because it could be so-and-so's time to preach, and you go, oh, I'm not going because you don't want a word from them. So it's not God that you're looking for, but it's man that we're looking at. And I think that's where we do our leaders a disjustice. And all of those that are talented, those that are anointed, the anointing is really the God. Prophet said it on Monday when he said what prophecy was. It is God in us being given to someone else. It's got none. We're just an empty, we're like a straw. He just goes to it's not us. It's what's coming out of us, and what's coming out of us has come from the breath of God. And so I think because we do start looking at people, and he didn't tell us. He said to know the spirit. He didn't say know the person, because we don't know ourselves, who we are, and what we're liable to do. And some of the stuff we don't acknowledge we did, and a lot of it we don't forget we did. And so what he asked us to do is know those that labor among you, but know their spirit. Let bear witness to the spirit that's in me or in another person. And so I think that once we turn from really judging people, because a lot of our topics deal with judging the actions of people as opposed to judging the motive in their heart. Or acknowledging the motives in their heart. And everything keeps coming back to, well, it depends on why they did it. And how often we don't know why we do half the stuff we do. We don't know why. So I think it's a more of that, you know, examine ourselves. We would be so soon, but our time definitely would be taken up with us looking in the mirror. As opposed to examining, and like someone mentioned, we don't know what some of these people are doing just because we haven't heard. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people are doing we're finding out that no one ever had a clue about. You know, so unless the Lord tells us, you know, when they're in a good season, if you will, or a good season that our eyes can see, we didn't see them doing anything wrong, it doesn't mean they're not doing anything wrong. It just means we don't know. You know, I know somebody mentioned somebody going through something, and someone else said, oh, I didn't know that. So, I mean, it's not always going to be known to us, the errors of other people's ways. Some, obviously, will be are flamboyant about it, but on a lot of cases, probably more cases than not, we don't know. Like Charles Stanley, I didn't have a clue. Something went wrong. Me. Wow.
So I didn't know. So when that, we
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of like an easier scenario using that when we are aware that there is a scenario or situation that is clearly against the Word of God. Do we have a responsibility to separate their input into our sphere? Whether it's don't read the books, don't listen to the music, don't pick up the video, don't look at them on TV or whatever. So should we be eating from a plate that has been taken? I mean, it's clear. This is a sin. You're not repentant or restored from it. Should we be eating? The issue isn't even if they should be eating. Should we be eating?
Should we be?
I can't hear what she said.
Let's go back to this when we had the conversation about conflict and certain people when they are poisonous or whatever. The Bible clearly tells us that there are steps that you take, and if there's no repentance, then it says, you know, pull away from it. You know, it's time for you to pull away from it. So I'm thinking that it would be gauged along those same lines, even if it's a leader. They're not doing what they need to do as far as remedy and getting themselves together, then there's going to have to come a point in time when we need to pull away.
Okay, so in, I guess, I don't know if you call it mass media or whatever the case, when you talk about people who have far reaching, their reach is far.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't always know whether they're in they've repented or not.
Right.
How is that?
Right.
It's not like we often had access to that process. So should we eat from this or receive from this?
I think that again is. Should we? How about we can, though?
No, I said should.
Should we?
What though should this light have with we. Darkness?
Yes.
Bad company corrupts.
Okay, so I know Pastor Diet 7 Up is not, I have evidence that Pastor Diet 7 Up is not whatever. Should I go over to his church? Or if I hear him or she on the radio, should I cut them off? Is that the question? Is that kind of scenario with the question?
I don't agree with that answer.
No, that's the question. That question. Should I? That's the question. What do you think?
Should we give ear? Should we give attention? Should we allow our spirits to be open to people that the Lord has shut down? Not paying up their popularity, help them up.
So before you can answer, so one thought which was mine, I was saying if they weren't repenting, we shouldn't. And then there was another school of thought that, you know, we can still glean. We have to try the Holy Spirit's guidance if they say no. I still think, no, I'll give you guys a real example. So I don't know how many of you were familiar with Exodus International. Mm-hmm. It was a ministry for people coming out of the lifestyle. It was international. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, several of the leadership came out that they were wrong. They were allowing, and one actually went in front to repent from his ministry of deliverance of people out of the lifestyle. One left his wife. He married his boyfriend. Another one said he now sees himself as a gay man, but he's committed to staying with his wife. Another one, he was one of the leaders, and he actually worked for Dobson on Focus with the Family. They were on Oprah with their books and all of that. And I know him pretty well. He's left to go back into life. So him and his wife both came out of the life, wrote these books together. Mm. His wife is now still working in another ministry that came out of Exodus, but he's gone back into the life after doing all of this. For me personally, because of the three men that I mentioned, none of them are repentant. And so while they wrote some good stuff, while they were in Exodus, the one guy that was on Oprah and Fox with, excellent book. But because of where they now are now, me as a seasoned Christian, I could pull that out. But if somebody was just coming out, I wouldn't refer that book, because then if they looked at where they're at now, you run the risk, well, how did they do all this body of work, this ministry, and go back? I think it would lead people astray. And so I would not refer that book anymore, even though I believe it's an excellent book, and all of that. And then I've seen the devastation in his families with his son, because mama stayed out and mama's doing ministry and daddy's back over here doing something else. So I personally would say no. And I'm not judging him. I pray for him. The other brother, when he had a big public fall, the ministry that I work for now, we were one of the first ministries after his fall, because he was repentant at the time. We had him come and speak. So we did, you know, and he did this great thing then, but since then he decided to go wholeheartedly back into the life. And so if he were to call me still, I need whatever, whatever. But as far as recommending, I couldn't.
And I mean, I think people do great work. They do good work, but it doesn't have to be God. And I think because we sometimes make the good God when it's not always God. All right. Anybody else? Would you give ear, faith, opportunity, your soul? Would you receive soul food from it?
We can't really hear what Apostle is saying. We can't hear what Apostle is saying.
Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show. Unmuted.
When someone is in a fallen state, you don't know what spirit they're in.
and it's always going to sound different. But nine times out of ten, it's not different. And it might be biblical to a point, but it may not be the word God wants you to have for that given situation. You know, the Bible teaches us that there is a way that seems right into a man, but it's human. So it may sound good, it may sound like sound advice, but when you get to the end of the road, like, I shouldn't have taken that advice. So even though it may be good advice, I'll err on the side of the Bible and just not listen to it. You know, Psalms 1, that's the first scripture tells us, you know, blessed is the man, you know, who doesn't sit in the advice of the sinner. So, I mean, even though I may like the person, because, I mean, I get some great advice for some people, friends of mine that aren't saved. I just don't utilize it. You know, out of conversation, I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it, you know, thanks for the advice. I won't use it because it's coming from unsaved. And it may sound good, and it may seem like it's sound advice, but it's not applicable to me because I'm in the kingdom. So I should not take non-kingdom advice. So I could see being, I could see talking to someone. I could see, oh, you know, just being genuinely nice. But I can't give credibility to me.
Block Talk, are you trying to say something?
No, this is Pastor Roger. I would like to ask a question. So when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit and your concern is winning soul in the work that you're doing, or if you're following someone that's out specifically to win souls for Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit will let you know if that's what you're doing or not, if you examine yourself. Because if we're going out following leadership and the leadership begins to stray and go for the money and the crowds or whatever they're looking for, if it's not lined up with building the kingdom or winning souls for Christ, I think the Holy Spirit is very wise and he will teach us these things specifically for ourselves, and we shouldn't look at other people. What the overseer, what you said earlier, I totally agree with that. The Holy Spirit is the one that's leading, guiding, and directing us and giving us what to say and when to say. I don't know. I know I love the Lord, and sometimes I see myself doing wrong or doing not what the Lord has told me to do, because a lot of time he says, say it one time and leave it alone. And you have a tendency to keep want to talk to people to try to get them to see things your way. And if God say it one time and leave it alone, that's what he means. And as leaders, we're trying so hard to get people to come. And when the Bible says he that has a will, let them come. So it's so much that I'm hearing from tonight's conversation.
I think, to add to the conversation, Pastor Bethel, you know, kind of said something that I thought is profound within itself. I think our spirit will begin to bear witness. And then some we've mentioned, you know, since we've been doing these conversations, a lot of it is very relational. I mean, there are some individuals that was very inspired that you know, I was able to glean and mature from young in Christ. And then after a while, their voice didn't have that same, give me a word, I'm fishing for one. Revelation. Okay, give me a bunch of words. I flow with impact because they voice didn't have the same impact. They were still anointed. They still had good revelation, but their voice didn't have that same impact in my maturity in my maturation process. And so there was a new language that I needed for manifestation to come within me so that I can have the momentum to grow and I can live in the miraculous. So I think that it happens not only as it relates to individuals, you know, as they've fallen, but I think as we grow in our relationship with Christ, there are just certain sounds that feed our spirit, and there are certain sounds that we bear witness with that causes us to continue to grow. Because, you know, I know that there have been times that, so what's the difference between me ministering out of my anger and a person who is flat out sleeping with Diet 7-Up, or, you know, out of my pain, minister beyond a place I was healed. I praise God for a house and an apostle who kept pushing me and wouldn't let me sit down. Can we go statute of limitations on sitting down? Can we go back and sit down for some stuff in the past? glean from the elevation of man and not necessarily, you know, what God has done.
And I think we see church growth as God.
Yes.
Tells us, I can't think of it right now, but it does tell us there's benefit and there is a responsibility we have when we do confess our faults one to another, those that are a part of the one another, if you will. And yet I think a lot of times we are looking for a step one, step two, step three. And yet I believe it's going to be according to God's will as to who that leader would share that with. So it may be that he doesn't want it to be shared, you know, on the internet across the board or whatever, whatever. But it's the will of God, not necessarily our will or our, you know, we need to see. So some things happen so that we no longer look to see, but we get by faith to walk. And so if I don't see it and I'm not sure, then I'm more apt to depend on God to show, God, you just got to show me this thing. And so we then get into that condition for prospering for the plan and the path to our prosperity by positioning ourselves closer to God, positioning and ourselves to hear from God, to seek what should I do, you know, on every turn. And yet the scripture clearly says that we should confess our faults one to one another, faults one to the other. So
amen.
That would indicate a public sharing. Okay.
As you had mentioned Charles Stanley, does it matter how his divorce came about or the fact that he got divorced? That
I'm going to say the fact that he got that's just going to be the final. And I appreciated Moody's stand, whether I agreed with it or not, I appreciated the stand if you believe strongly on this, that you're willing to take this kind of stand. And it's going to impact your revenue. It's going to have a huge impact, okay? But that your faith was willing to take that kind of stand. And you stood behind the conviction or the belief system, well, at that time that the university had across the board to that extent. So that spoke volumes for me. Right or wrong. I appreciate watching a ministry stand behind.
And yet, Apostle, does God appreciate it?
Does God appreciate his divorce?
No.
Moody stand.
Kind of Moody stand.
Does God appreciate Moody stand as a I don't know. I definitely believe God honored it. Did he appreciate it? I don't know. But I definitely believe God honored it because I believe I understand God's position on divorce. So with that being said, I definitely believe God honored it.
Because a lot of the questions that seem to come up are also rooted in denominational preferences or, you know, or the way certain groups of, you know, whether Baptists or whatever, you know, the things that they believe in. When one of those things that may not be something another denomination, you know, believe, like a woman has something on her head all the time. Okay, so for them that say that's where it should be, it's a sin, but for those who don't, then it becomes a controversy.
Right.
You know, so is it a the controversy seems to be in revolving around a denominational belief or interpretation or
No, I was saying, Pastor, when you said sometimes we make people famous, because it depends on what's in our heart, and if I'm going somewhere because that's the in place, that's the up and coming, or I feel like the anointing is there, but is it the anointing or a particular spirit that's there? You know, and so I think everybody hears a story, but there was a part early on, I watched one pastor, because he was fine. And so, but the Lord ended up using that because, as I watched him, because he was fine, he started to, what he was saying started to get to me. And then it at point, I either had to turn the TV on because he wasn't, the internet wasn't big, now I'm telling my age, back then. But I would leave the room or either sit there and close my eyes. And then it spoke to me. Because the Lord was working on my heart, and you know, and it was funny because a friend of mine, we used to laugh because he was watching for the same reason. He would say, "We're gonna go to that church one day," and I was like, "You gonna go there and his wife gonna see you and scratch your ass out?" But
no,
but, anointing came through.
Yeah.
And then Apostle Prophet, what you were saying though, to a certain place, and the Lord may have us there for a season to learn whatever. Yes, whatever it is that we're supposed to give, but I think it's a little different than talking about that person fell and something else was going on. And so, you know, I've been at a place and I wanted to leave, and I asked the Lord to release me. The Lord said, "Not yet."
Right.
And I needed to respect that and stay there until he said, "Okay, now you're released to go." Because if I did not, I had to deal with those consequences if I left before he told me to leave, so.
And I guess my concern becomes, one, that we really do make these people famous. We are following, we are choosing to do by the hidden struggles within us, and we call that the anointing. And my concern becomes that we have an ear, the scripture says we have itchy ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an ear for that, and we don't necessarily have one for the truth. We haven't cultivated, I don't know, spiritual taste for the truth yet. We still want to be entertained, and we don't mind if a little truth is interjected. That's just, it is just enough truth to make me feel comfortable in my seat. So that's And so the more we give ear, the more we allow our soul to be fed homemade remedies. I think we're creating a generation that will have a difficult time knowing the truth and seeing it.
Thank you.
look at what God is doing with them. And so you have a generation of people who have fallen looking and listening to people. We're because that's still fallen. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we think it's okay because look what all God is doing with them.
Right. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Stop. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, this is Pastor Connie. I just want to add something. Someone said at the sometimes we listen to the voice of the one that is ministering, and we can tell by the voice and whether it's the anointing or not. I tend to agree with that. I agree with what everyone has said. I truly agree, totally agree. But the scripture said, "He that have an ear, let them hear what the angels say to the church." And since we say we are the church, the angel is going to speak to our hearts, because you can walk in a church that is jumping on fire, busting out from the beams, and the Holy Spirit says, be aware of a wool in sheep clothing. So if the Spirit is speaking like that to us, then we should be able to hear what he's saying or be able to interpret it, what he's saying to us. Many times we look at the mega churches and we think, wow, he got it going on, but then the enemy comes in and causes it to make a fall. So still the Holy Spirit, God is still speaking to us in this season that we as his children should be aware of wool in sheep clothing. Do we listen to them? If the anointing, if the word is there and it's the anointing of God, we can glean from it. If it's not, we can still hear what it said, it's being said, but we don't have to glean from it. And allow the Holy Ghost to just direct our pathway. That's what he came to do. And we are alert, aware when God speaks. We won't, you know, be in any confusions, or we won't be in any darkness, because God is the light that enlightens our hearts. So that's just my input tonight. What? No, you can't see nothing.
Amen.
Oh, and my son says, "Praise the Lord!" So give God a shout out for that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So
saying praise.
Amen. Amen. King of churches.
I love God.
Amen.
You know, Pastor, a new aspect of this one, when you introduced this topic was, we as the body, how are we praying and covering our leaders? Why are we having so many leaders fall? Christianity today on the website, they have a percentage, and they talk about how many pastors and leaders are walking away from their pulpit daily. It's staggering. And so why is that? You know, though I don't lead a church, I can understand some of the pressures, but how are we covering? How do we do? Are we afraid to step in? And why don't we? A friend of mine, she was secretary at a church. She was the financial secretary and the church clerk of secretary. In the pastor, she suspected something was going on, but they looked the other way. And until it got to the point one day that the pastor's daughter confronted the church secretary and hit her in the mouth and knocked her down at a restaurant down the street from the church, and she called the police on the pastor's daughter and had her arrested. This was a church that had been in this community for 100+ years, and so what was that witness to the folks? And so when I asked my friend, why didn't you say something? Well, it wasn't my place. You know, well, whose place was it? You know, you could, you had an elders board. Why not take it to one of the elders and say, you know, I'm suspecting. Did you pray for it? No, it wasn't my place. And so, you know, while we as leaders, to whatever degree, we need to avail ourselves to correction and all of that, I think we need to intercede, you know. So Apostle is one of my pastors and one of my leaders. I need to be praying for her, you know. So why don't we, and how do we do before it gets to this point?
Can I read the scripture, James 5:16, what Overseer was talking about?
Yes.
It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person availeth, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And therefore, leaders must confess their sins also.
That's right.
Amen.
And through our intercession, they can be healed. So it's on us as well as on them. Thank you, Pastor.
I definitely
believe that there is a place of confession. Clearly, we all know I believe that. My concern becomes what that looks like. On the different, I guess if I can say, levels of leadership. And the comfort of that, or maybe it shouldn't be, an element of that scripture that I think is important and it speaks to what you said. I think we see so many leaders falling because there isn't effectual prayer cover. And then it says the prayers of the righteous. Holiness and righteousness is something, it used to be foundational. And it just is one of the words that we hear often in church. I mean, it is, they're not spiritual attributes that we encourage. We rationalize that away. And so I think leaders are falling and leaving because it isn't that undergirding of prayer. That doesn't exist to the depth that it should. I'll say it that way. And that's unfortunate. People are constantly, well, you know, you didn't see that kid? Wow, that's too bad. Kind of concept, and you fall into it, and somebody tells you to cover over it so the next person. Why you with that? I'm glad you fell first. I let me jump over here.
Well, I hope you find it.
kind of mentality. So, yeah, there's, it's easy to see why leaders. I also wonder if it's like when various gifts came back in the business, if forgot about other offices, like the evangelistic office kind of fell off, you know, the teaching office. The office that's literally supposed to equip the saints on what you're supposed to do day to day in disciples. You really don't see a lot of great teachers anymore. So it's like, prayerfully, along with the intercession, praying that the other five ministry gifts are in full operation so that, like, the foundation can be built again correctly for, you know, the generation and next generation two coming up so that they know, like, holiness
is a real thing. The word, you can say it, how last we say it. Okay. Right. I think, unfortunately, that those gifts became famous in a season. And so maybe by the time we get through all of them, we can enjoy the season of them all together. And then he can come back to his church. He can come back to his bride. And so that's unfortunate that we've traded as the gifts became popular. We've let go of one to pick up the popular one, and then we let go of that one to pick up the next popular one. And it kind of makes you wonder if it was yours in the beginning, if you could just kind of, if you have an upgrade mentality. Yeah.
I think the other thing for leaders is we in the church, we shoot our wounded.
Yes.
So many times when leaders are coming to our ministry at a mess and they're struggling with anything sexually, it, let alone that you actually understand, but you say that I'm struggling, first thing they do, sit you down, put you out. There's really no restoration process for those to walk alongside. And so I can't say how many times I've heard pastors, leaders, bishops say, I can't go to my denomination because if I do, not only would it put me out, this is my life, this is that I got my family. And so you see them struggling through time after time and getting further in it. And it's sad that it's that way. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of leeway for leaders to go.
And I think that's unfortunate because it just makes you wonder, like, what's the seat to the fact that as lay people, we have idolized them to a place where healing isn't available. Because if we hadn't, there would be such a comfort in being able to say, I can't do this work here because I got stuff I got to work. And know that those that you pour into, that is well. There's no judgment or anything like that. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Because of our unhealthy relationship or ideology about leaders. And so.
Or I think even the subject of it, we've made the very thing that Christ died for bad. We've made sin bad. Hear that in your mature ears. We've made sin bad. You're in sin. You're bad. That's the very thing that's one of the very things that Christ died for. And so I think the early part, we elevated sin and not the gospel. And so when people hear the good news, we credit what the good news came to do, bad news. Not that anybody has a license in here to sin, but we've made it so bad. We've made it where individuals cannot come and be honest about what's going on in their flesh, in their heart, in their thoughts, in their home, on their job. And so it's like this woe, when in actuality, our righteousness is as filthy rags. I think that's what the word says. And when God sees us, he sees us through the eyes of Christ. And so the very thing that covers us, that makes us appreciate to love him, we've cursed it we've made it bad and not embraced the process that comes along with the promise of what he did. So I am holy right now in the very state present that I am. And that may be hard to believe, but I am. And I celebrate that because of what Christ did.
We studied a book in CCTI called The Walk of Repentance. And I think the problem is that we have not learned how to walk people through to a place of repentance because we keep holding a sin against it. And so we have, in the church, you know, even when he was talking about, you know, that process of a person and how leaders are walking away from the pulpit and things of that nature, walking people, learning to walk them through repentance and not make they sin. If God cast it in the sea of forgiveness,
oh,
stop going deep sea dive and trying to fill up some stuff I did. Get your scuba gear off and come on and let's deal with this thing and learn how to walk people through repentance and stop, you know, remembering. And that's the place that I think as a body of Christ and us, the kingdom of God, that's the place that we've got to get to, is to be able to forgive people and stop, you know, repeating their sins. But I remember when you know, who you going to tell me, you know, you did it, and all of those kinds of things. We have to learn how to let that be behind us and then help them to get to that new place that they did. We have to learn how to walk them through repentance.
All right, well, good conversation. Good conversation.
Amen.
I guess in my son, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We definitely have matured and have learned. I definitely see the manifestation of God in each individual and the things that we are sharing individually and collectively. Next week, we have a topic for next week. Are people sending their thoughts in? Are you sending your thoughts in?
Are coming in their thoughts, their suggestions. So it's been phenomenal. I just don't remember the title.
Well,
we have quite a few. I don't remember what we said.
Next week is a mystery. So please call. Again, we do. We do appreciate each individual. Your insight is needed. This is the direction which God has taken us. So we believe that each person is playing a vital part for us to get to that place of maturation, manifestation, momentum, and miracle. Amen?
Amen.
All righty.
Let's talk to get the experience meeting on Saturday.
I know I heard Pastor Diane. I get y'all. That's right. I said it right. I heard Pastor Diane's voice on the blog talk. Could you end us in prayer, Pastor Diane?
Yes, I can. Father God in heaven, once more and again, we have come together in unity to hear a word from you. So, Father God, as you have spoke through your people, we ask that our eyes and our ears be open, that our hearts will receive what we have learned, that we could take it out in the vineyard to the people that are lost, that they too can hear from heaven. And, oh, Lord, we just thank you for what our overseer and our apostle are doing to bring the people closer to you. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we leave tonight. Amen, and thank God.
Amen. Oh, proud grandbaby over here. Like her grandma can't pray.
We love everybody and good night.
We love you.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Good night.